number 084133, United States v. Enao Melo, and we'll hear from Ms. Odom.
May it please the court, Molly Odom for Mr. Enao. In this illegal reentry case, Mr. Enao received a 16-level drug trafficking enhancement under the sentencing guidelines section 2L1.2 on the basis of his federal conviction for use of a telephone to facilitate a narcotics offense. He has raised two separate issues on appeal. One of the issues, which was raised for preservation in the district court, is foreclosed by this court's decision in United States v. Piatta Chaparro. That was whether a facilitation offense could ever qualify as a drug trafficking offense. Because that issue is foreclosed, I would like to address the separate issue, which was raised for the first time on appeal and is not foreclosed. And that is that the government has failed to prove that the narcotics offense that Mr. Enao facilitated was indeed a qualifying drug trafficking offense under the enhancement in 201.2. Under the federal facilitation statute, 21 U.S.C. section 843B, that statute includes felony possession controlled substance offenses, and that's under 21 U.S.C. 844A. Under this court's precedent, mere possession offenses do not qualify as a drug trafficking offense for enhancement purposes under 201.2.
What's a Class E felony?
A Class E felony?
Yes, ma'am.
A Class E felony, well, I don't remember all the years on it, but it is a felony where a range is up to so many years of imprisonment.
Well,
I'm trying to remember.
Pardon me?
Excuse, I'm trying to remember under 359 what the exact number of years is on the imprisonment.
It's obviously over 13 months, but is it a smaller felony or a larger felony?
Is it a smaller felony or a larger felony?
In terms of the length of sentence.
It is a smaller felony in terms of the length of sentence, yes. In this case, Mr. Enao could have facilitated a mere possession offense, narcotics offense, because the federal court documents introduced by the government do not pare down the facilitation statute. He pled to a superseding information which is not in the record. The indictments were dismissed, and the judgment merely states facilitating a narcotics offense under 843B. Importantly, the government has not contested that the statute includes mere possession. Instead, they have argued that Mr. Enao waived the issue or alternatively cannot show plain error. Pardon me.
If you need water, go ahead and
thank you. I think it's cleared up. Thank you. Mr. Enao did not waive the argument. A review of the record and this court's case law shows that he did not waive the appellate issue by preserving a separate issue in district court. His written objections and sentencing objections are clearly couched in terms of preserving the Piatta Chaparro issue.
Well, this is not the Piatta Chaparro issue, or else you lose.
That's correct. That's correct. It is foreclosed, and the Supreme Court has denied
certain
that.
But how is the district court supposed to know that? Because he never used the term paring down. He said there is sufficient proof, or some words to that effect. And obviously your argument is that he just didn't think about it, or the counsel didn't think about it.
That's clear. It was not brought before the district court.
Did the public defender represent him in the district court?
Yes, the public defender represented him in the district court. And as I mentioned, he addressed and couched his objections in terms of Piatta Chaparro. He first argued that the government needed, and this is in his written objections, that the government needed to produce sufficient evidence to establish the facilitation conviction. And then he recognized the holding in Piatta Chaparro, recognized the district court was bound by it, preserved the issue of whether a facilitation offense qualifies as a drug trafficking offense. At sentencing, he admitted that the documents had been provided to prove the facilitation conviction. He recognized the prior opinion and preserved the issue. In fact, specifically what he said was, Your Honor, I had an objection to the 16-level upward adjustment. I realize the documentation has been provided. I also realize what this circuit has recently held on the subject, We're just preserving the issue. There is no evidence in this record that defense counsel knew of and affirmatively waived or abandoned the separate issue raised on appeal. I am going to take a sip of water. Excuse me just a
moment. Go ahead. It's been a big problem this week. Just don't cough on us.
Thank you. The standard that I was talking about is was set forth by the Supreme Court in United States v. Olano, citing Johnson v. Zerp, and also followed by this court in Arvizamato. And that is defining waiver as the intentional relinquishment or abandonment of a known right. This case is distinguishable from the cases cited by the government in their brief. In those cases, there were specific challenges made by counsel, and those specific challenges were withdrawn and then raised again on appeal. Or counsel specifically chose to forego a challenge and then raise that issue on appeal. Here we have raised a separate issue than what was raised below. And this case is similar.
Well, it's a question of whether the greater includes the lesser, I suppose, because Piotr Chaparro says, we now join our sister circuits in holding that an 843B conviction constitutes a drug trafficking offense.
That's correct. But what they didn't look at in the district court was whether that drug trafficking, what that narcotics offense, was indeed a drug trafficking offense.
Well, the problem is that Piotto can be read to foreclose that argument.
It forecloses the argument of whether mere facilitation offenses qualify as drug trafficking offenses. You still have to look at whether or not the narcotics offense that he facilitated, whether that qualifies as a drug trafficking offense under the sentencing guidelines enhancement.
Well, as you know very well, the busy district judges who are sentencing 10 or 20 people a day, as well as the public defenders who are representing many of them, could be led to think that Piotto is unequivocal.
As long as
it's 13 months or more sentence.
I understand what you're saying, but we really are talking about two separate issues. There was the issue that indeed facilitation offenses can qualify for drug trafficking offense, but this court has looked at it much closer to find out if those narcotic offenses are indeed drug trafficking. And the Supreme Court just recently did that in Abu Hawa, where they found that the defendant's purchase of drugs over the telephone did not qualify as a drug trafficking, felony drug trafficking offense, as a felony narcotics offense. And this court in, it's an unusual name, here we are, Arizaga Acosta, looked at this issue and found that possession, not this specific issue under 843B, but did look at whether offenses are drug trafficking offenses, and found that possession of a listed chemical with intent to manufacture did not warrant the 16-level enhancement. So there is precedent with this court reviewing whether or not the narcotics offense qualifies as a drug trafficking offense. And the court did that in Williams.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying how plain was this error?
This error was plain under the statute, the guidelines, and this court's jurisprudence. Looking closely at the second prong, we look to whether or not the error was clear or obvious under current law and not subject to reasonable debate. Reviewing the current law of the Fifth Circuit, including Piotr Chaparro, United States versus Caicedo Coero, United States versus Arizaga Acosta, the Third Circuit's United States v. Williams, and the Supreme Court's decision in Abu Hawa reflects that the error was clear or obvious under current law. In Piotr Chaparro, the indictment charged use of a telephone, quote, to facilitate a conspiracy to distribute marijuana and or cocaine. We do not have that in this case. We don't have an indictment that specifically points to a drug trafficking offense. He pled to a superseding information. And the judgment merely states that he was found guilty of a narcotics offense under 843.
You know, it seems that this was a clear error that public defender who specialized in raising these issues would have noted it in advance.
It is an error that he missed.
He missed it sufficient to waive it, probably because the language of Piatto is broad, but it's so clear that the district judge should have recognized it on his own.
I am not saying that the district court should have recognized it on its own. I'm saying under the plain error review for this court that it is clear and obvious, and it's not subject to reasonable debate. This case is like United States v. Alfaro, where counsel in the district court withdrew his guidelines 2L1.2 enhancement objection at sentencing and then raised an objection to that same enhancement on appeal on an entirely different ground, and this court reviewed for plain error. And that's what we're saying is happening here. It was a separate ground that he raised below. Yes, he missed the issue. But it's like the Seventh Circuit recognized in Jaimes, where the court said, we cannot conceive of any strategic reason for Jaimes not objecting to the extra 8-level increase in his offense level, and the government offers no sound reason, indeed no reason at all, why he would have opted to bypass the challenge. He simply missed it. But under this court's plain error review, the error was clear and obvious and not subject to reasonable debate. And I realize the court is taking a very close look at this second prong in plain error review, and did so in United States v. Ellis, where they're really looking at, is this a clear or obvious error when it hasn't been objected to in the court below? And in that case, they found that it did not meet the plain error standard.
Counsel, did Chaparro, was there a cert application made in it to the Supreme Court?
Yes, sir. A cert was filed before the Supreme Court, and that was pending at the time of the briefing. And so we preserved the issue. And in June, the Supreme Court declined cert on that. Yes, sir.
What effect does the declining of cert on Chaparro have on the problem that we're wrestling here right now, whether Chaparro was clear or vague or whatever?
That's a separate issue that we have preserved, and we'll take that on up to the Supreme Court. But Piatto Chaparro does not contradict the separate claim that we're making in this case, the separate claim that the actual narcotics offense doesn't qualify as a drug trafficking offense under the guidelines. That's a separate claim than what is in Piatto Chaparro. In fact, in Piatto Chaparro, they specifically recognized that his narcotic offense was indeed a drug trafficking, because his indictment specifically showed that he was trafficking in marijuana and cocaine, and we don't have that in this case.
What puzzles me is there any set of circumstances under which a charge under the use of a communication device in furtherance of a narcotics offense would be a separate indictment, a separate offense all by itself? My expectation would be that this charge about use of a communication device is an add-on count in almost all cases where it is applied.
In this particular case, it is the only charge that Mr. Anno received, and that was use of a phone to facilitate a narcotics offense. And it didn't charge him with conspiracy or anything. It was pared down from, I believe, two indictments down to the superseding information, which we don't have.
So as a matter of decision on the part of the prosecutor, his charges, all other drug trafficking charges that he may have been charged with, were dismissed, not prosecuted?
In this case, that's true. His only conviction was this facilitation conviction, yes.
And that then means that the records of that conviction should have said something more than it did say. It simply just said the language of the statute itself. Is that
That's correct. And that's what's unusual about this case. In Piotr Chaparro, they specifically identified the drug trafficking offense. Here, because we don't have the indictment, we look to the entire statute. That's correct.
And what is it that the government contends is the basis for applying this enhancement?
The government contends that Mr. Anau cannot show that he plain error in this case.
But no, I'm asking, what is the theory upon which the government says that the charge in this case is sufficient to support the 16-level enhancement?
The government claims that the charge reflects that he did indeed have an independent narcotics offense. My argument is that that is too broad. But their argument is that his judgment reflects he had an independent narcotics offense.
And you could argue that he led the district court down the counsel led the district court down the garden path by saying, Your Honor, I had an objection to the 16-level upward adjustment. I realize the documentation's been provided. I also realize what this circuit has recently held on the subject. We're just preserving the issue, Your Honor.
That's true. And that is couched in terms of Piotr Chaparro. This is a separate issue that we've raised. I do not believe that counsel's statements were an invitation to the court to make an error. And I'm looking at...
I didn't say they were conscious, but I'm saying the greater includes the lesser, perhaps.
But this is consistent with this court's holdings in our Visa Mata, where it has to be an intentional relinquishment or abandonment of a known right. And I don't believe that the record reflects that here.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
You have time for rebuttal. Ms. Mitchell?
May it please the court, my name is Carmen Mitchell, and I represent the government in this matter. The district court did not plainly err in finding that Anau Malo's prior conviction under 21 U.S.C. Section 843B constituted a drug trafficking offense under Sentencing Guidelines Section 2L1.2. The plain error standard overview applies here. Anau Malo made a general objection below, contending that his prior conviction for use of a phone to facilitate a narcotics offense did not qualify as a drug trafficking offense. However, he did not make the more specific objection that the underlying narcotics offense under 843B constituted or did not constitute a drug trafficking offense. Thus, he agrees on appeal that the plain error standard of review applies. And under the first prong of the plain error standard of review, no error occurred here. This circuit and every circuit that has addressed the issue has held that a prior conviction under 843B constitutes a drug trafficking offense under Section 2L1.2. To obtain a conviction under Section 843B, the government had to have proved three elements, and that is a knowing or intentional use of a communication facility to facilitate the commission of a drug offense. And under Section 2L1.2, a drug trafficking offense is defined as an offense which prohibits the manufacture, importation, exportation, distribution, or dispensing of a controlled substance or the possession with intent to do such.
Well, didn't then Judge Alito recognize that there was a possibility that 843B or the underlying offense encompassed mere possession?
In Abu Hawa, which was the recent United States Supreme Court case, which was decided after the government's briefing in this case, the Supreme Court clarified that a conviction cannot be had under 843B for mere possession. That is, that the communications facilitation provision at issue covers only those who facilitate a drug felony, and it doesn't apply to a person, as in that case, who calls up a drug conspirator to purchase a small amount of drugs for personal use.
So that's a judicial pairing of the indictment, so to speak.
It is, Your Honor, and that was, so currently under current law, 843B doesn't apply to misdemeanor drug possession. In this case, this court has already held in Piotr Chaparro that a defendant's prior 843B conviction constitutes a drug trafficking offense for the purposes of sentencing guidelines section 2L1.2. And in Piatto Chapato, this court followed the reasoning of the 11th Circuit in the Orihuela case. And in Orihuela, the 11th Circuit held that a prior conviction under 843B constitutes a drug trafficking offense where, number one, the underlying drug offense is a felony and not a misdemeanor, and number two, where the sentence imposed exceeded 13 months. So applying Piatto Chapato in the present case, Hanal Malloy's prior conviction under 843B did constitute a drug trafficking offense because his underlying drug offense was a felony, it wasn't a misdemeanor, and that's not disputed, and the sentence imposed exceeded 13 months. In fact, he received 4 years for his prior sentence. And as Judge Jones stated, Piatto Chapato can be read as unequivocal. That is, Hanal Malloy even conceded below that Piatto Chapato was dispositive. He claimed that he was merely raising the objection to preserve the issue for further review. So under the first prong, there was no error, and under the second prong, any alleged error is not clear or obvious. To the extent that Hanal Malloy now complains on appeal that the government failed to provide the plea instrument or the charging instrument or the plea colloquy, he has waived such complaint on appeal. He acknowledged that the pertinent documents had been provided in district court to support the enhancement. He agreed in open court that the court had the necessary documentation that it needed to rule on the objection, and he simply maintained that he was preserving the issue for further review.
Well, now, if you parse that careful, I mean, I can certainly see how the judge was misled, but or inadvertently, but if you parse that language, isn't it also susceptible to his just acknowledging the broader problem, which was, did they prove the 843B at all? Did they introduce the superseding or whatever information?
But in Piatto Chapato, this court also addressed the secondary issue in that case, which was that the district court had considered the indictment in that case as well as the PSR. And so by reading Piatto Chapato and recognizing that his issue was foreclosed, he was aware of the objection that he was making, as that issue had been raised in Piatto Chapato. His affirmative statements to the district court that it had what it needed to rule allayed any possible concern by the district court that the judgment provided may not suffice for imposing the enhancement. So this case—
Counsel, let me ask, does the whatever was provided as the evidence of the prior conviction about the communication device, does it state what sentence the defendant got in that case?
Yes, Your Honor. The judgment and sentence for that prior conviction under 843B reflected that he received a four-year sentence. It also reflected that the underlying indictments had been dismissed upon this plea to 843B.
So can we deduce anything from the fact of the term that he was sentenced with as to whether or not the crime was one that is eligible for the 16-level enhancement?
It stated that it was a...
Let me ask it the other way around. Suppose the government indicted him for mere possession and use of a device in enhancing his own use. What term of punishment would he get for that?
That I'm not sure of, Judge DeMoss, but it
is
does...
Is mere possession an automatic felony?
Mere possession is not. Only possession committed by a recidivist, or possession of 5 grams of cocaine base, or possession of flunitrazepam under 844A constitutes a felony.
What is the significance of the language that says that the prior conviction should have been for at least 13 months. Does that seem to rule out conviction for mere personal possession?
It seems that it would, but that would be speculation on my part, Judge. I'm not certain of that, but we just know that he received 4 years, and if I recollect correctly, I believe 4 years was the maximum, but again, I'm not positive on that. The judgment for that offense stated that it was a use of telephone to facilitate a narcotics offense, and revealed that it was a felony E grade in that case. Here, because...
And what does felony E grade have a range of punishments for which it is appropriate?
I believe it was up to 4 years, maximum term.
Well, it just seems to me like it is pure speculation to say that it might have been a charge for personal use.
That I would agree with, Judge, because the underlying indictments here were for conspiracy to distribute heroin. Those were the underlying indictments, not the superseding information to which Anal Malo pled. So it would be pure speculation to say or suggest that he may have been convicted of facilitating a possession offense. And that's all the more reason why it's not clear or obvious that any alleged error occurred. This case is distinguishable from Arvizo, which was cited by appellant. In Arvizo, the defense counsel said he had no objection to the PSR, and this court on appeal said, by stating he had no objection to the PSR, he did not waive his contention on appeal that the criminal history points were miscalculated. This case is more like the cases in which a defense counsel recognizes and makes an objection at trial and subsequently abandons it. Here, defense counsel at trial recognized the objection. He made the objection, conceded that the documentation had been provided, and merely stated he was raising it for further review and recognized that it was foreclosed. This case is more like the Aparco case cited in my brief out of the Sixth Circuit, in which the defendant explicitly agreed that his prior conviction qualified as an aggravated felony, and he waived the issue on appeal.
Let me ask you again if I misunderstood you about the recent Supreme Court case. Justice Alito in the Williams case said that we avoid concluding that all 843B convictions are controlled substances offenses because some of them can be mere felony-level possession, right? Is that affected by the Supreme Court's decision, or is it just personal non-felony amounts that the court addressed?
I think, as Judge DeMoss pointed out, subsequent to the decision by the U.S. Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court denied cert in the Piatto-Chapato case. And so I think that is very telling that Piatto-Chapato is certainly controlling here.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but you're saying the Supreme Court held that 843B does not encompass use of a facility of communication for personal amounts, right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
Yes.
But it could still encompass felony possession.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. Well, I think it's pretty straightforward, so I don't think we have any other questions.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Odom?
We'd like to make three quick points in answer to your question, Judge DeMoss. Under 21 U.S.C. 844A, there can be possession offenses with imprisonment of not less than 5 years. So his four-year sentence still falls within that mere possession under the possession offenses identified under 844A. And Chief Judge Jones is correct under Abu Hawa, where the court recognized, the Supreme Court recognized, felony possession cases are included under 843B. And prior to that, we have the case out of the Third Circuit, United States v. Williams, where they acknowledged that a defendant could be convicted under 843B for using a telephone to facilitate the mere possession of a controlled substance. So those are cases that, current cases that are consistent with Mr. Anao's argument. The second point I'd like to address is the issue of speculation. Under this court's precedent, when you have the circumstances that you have here, that where you do not have a federal court charging document, and the judgment merely states a citation to the statute facilitating a narcotics offense, and I'm quoting here, this court must proceed under the assumption that the defendant, Mr. Anao, his conduct constituted the least culpable act satisfying the count of conviction. And that's the circumstances we're looking at here. I'm quoting from United States v. Houston, that is in the appellate's brief, as well as United States, also Gonzalez v. Ramirez. And that's given the unique circumstances we have here with him not pleading to the indictment and pleading to a superseding information. The PSR in this case also does not enlighten the type of drug narcotics offense that he participated in. It does identify a conspiracy. However, his judgment does not reflect that he was found guilty of a conspiracy. The PSR that he admitted to reflects that he was involved in drug activities.
Importation of heroin, to be precise.
His brother was involved in importation of heroin. It says that the defendant was directed in drug activities. It's not specific. It's not like the case in Martinez-Vega where he specifically admitted to activities which narrowed down the conviction. Here we're having admitted to drug activities, which is as broad as narcotics activities. It could be mere possession. And my final note is the government indicated that this case is like our Parco Centeno. I apologize, these allergies. This case is distinguishable from that case in our Parco Centeno. The government filed a notice of enhancement based on two prior aggravating felonies. There was a plea agreement in which the defendant stipulated to those prior aggravating felonies, and he explicitly agreed in sentencing that those aggravated felonies qualified. That is not the type of admission that we have in this case at sentencing. There, any further questions?
No, ma'am.
All right. We would ask the court to reverse and remand for resentencing.
Thank you.